This morning's scripture reading will come from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith.
For all you brides who didn't get any candy yesterday on Valentine's Day, I have the following poem for you. Roses are red, chocolate is nice, I'll get yours tomorrow when the price is half price. I know many of you, your relationships are built on how much money you can save. So, guys, I hope you were nice to your brides yesterday. I think you guys know me well enough that a lot of times when I preach about things that I've been thinking of. And sometimes I'll be thinking about something all week long, and then I'm able to pull it together. I've had a lot of thoughts in my mind this past week, a lot of things that have gone on. And I think this message this morning will help us in our Christian walk. Imagine, if you will, this morning, if we had McCaden and Anthony standing up here. And I told each of them to carry a 20-pound weight above their head as long as they could. Who do you think would win that? My money would be on McCaden. All right? My money would be on McCaden because he's eating a lot more vegetables. He's worked out. He's had trainer tables. He's had all kinds of things. And he's done them consistently. Now, I think Anthony is a pretty healthy young man. And maybe in a few years when he's the size of McCaden, he'll be able to hold that 20-pound weight for a long time. He runs faster. Ooh. Better tell McCaden's coach, get him out there, run some sprints. Anyway, the thing is that both, and I know that Anthony is one who is studying the martial arts. So both of them are trying to grow in different ways, but they're different stages in their life. One of the things that I've been thinking about this week is the Olympics. I mean, they're all over the place. I don't know if you saw that Lindsey Vonn ruptured her ACL, and then she had a terrible crash. She's out of it. She's done skiing for the rest of her life in competition. That was pretty ugly. And it got me to thinking about the typical Olympic journey. The journey of the typical Olympian is marked by years of dedication, discipline, and relentless pursuit of excellence. It often begins in childhood or adolescence when natural talent is noticed and nurtured through local programs, clubs or school programs. As the child progresses, they become an athlete and they commit to rigorous training schedules. They balance early morning practices, specialized coaching, and competitions, while often managing school or work responsibilities. Some of those challenges that they face are injuries, setbacks, intense competition to test their resolve. It requires not only physical endurance, but also mental toughness and adaptability. Support from family, coaches, and teammates becomes crucial during this demanding process. Over time, Olympians advance through regional, national, and international competitions, continually refining their skills and strategies. Ultimately, earning a spot on their country's Olympic team is the culmination of years of sacrifice, resilience, and unwavering belief in their dreams. Olympians just don't become Olympians because they decide, I want to do this. They have to work at it. They have to endure many, many things to get to where they're at. I was watching the ladies doing the giant slalom skiing. And in the past, they showed the cameras like, oh, yeah, I could do that. Well, the cameras this year are like following them. They got new cameras, and I'm like, I can't do that. There's no way. They really work at it. You know, Eddie the Eagle convinced me that I could never do the ski jumping. You guys remember Eddie the Eagle? He's back during the 80s Olympics, 80s, 90s, early 90s. He was a Brit, and he made the Olympics, and all these other jumpers were jumping out like 100 meters off the ski hill. Eddie the Eagle was making about 55. Eddie was a British subject, and he made his team. And after that Olympics, the British put certain minimal requirements that you had to achieve to be able to be an Olympian. So a regular guy just doesn't get it. You have to build and work at it. Well, it's important for us as Christians to work at things. And it's important for us to grow. It's important for us to be pursuing heaven. That's our goal. And that's what we're trying to get to. And there's a reason that we need to build our endurance to be able to do that. There's this entity out there named Satan, and he's trying to undermine our endurance. How does he do that? He introduces doubt into our mind. He gives us discouragements. He puts temptation before us. He may use setbacks, disappointments, or difficult circumstances to make us question our faith. He may tempt us to give up when things get tough. He might distract us from God's promises and encourage us to focus on our own weaknesses, our own failures. He tries to erode our resolve and our perseverance. Satan is actively trying to take the gold crown from us. And so we need to work hard to have our endurance strong, where we're depending upon the Lord and moving towards our ultimate goal. Satan can exploit isolation, making us feel alone or unsupported, and that will diminish our spiritual strength. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." We don't want to be isolated. We want to be together with other Christians, continuing to move forward towards the goal. The Bible encourages believers to remain vigilant. What's that mean? Don't fall asleep. Be aware of what's going on around you. You know, when I'm driving in traffic on 270, I got my head on a swivel. I'm remaining vigilant because I don't want to be in a crash. Well, imagine how much more important it is to keep our head on a swivel when we're dealing with Satan. We need to build community with others. That means our fellowship together is important. For years, I've heard people take shots at, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." And I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, well, you know, if you miss a service, it's not going to kill you. And they're trying to reduce the guilt that some people have. But shouldn't our goal be to be here every time we can? You know, I get strength from you. I get encouragement from you. A hug, that'll carry me all week, you know? Knowing that there's a group of people that love me and care about me and have the same Christian values as I do helps me when I go out into the world. Because I know there's a safe place. There's people that I can worship God with. And Satan can't isolate me. We need to lean on God's strength. And too many of us lean upon our own strength. We need to do these things to counter the tactics that Satan puts forward. Well, there's things in the Bible that talk about endurance. It's a recurring theme. It's often highlighted as the ability to remain steadfast in faith and commitment, especially during times of hardship and adversity. Many biblical figures such as Job, Paul, and Jesus demonstrated remarkable perseverance, serving as examples of how enduring trials can lead to spiritual growth and a deeper trust in God. If we went to James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. And Romans 5, 3 and 4, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. These all emphasize that endurance is both a virtue and a pathway to greater blessings. Through enduring challenges, believers are encouraged to rely upon God's strength and promises, knowing that perseverance ultimately leads to hope and fulfillment. And I really appreciate David and his class this morning talking about hope is not just wishful thinking. Hope is something that we have an expectation of, an expectation that it's going to happen. So when we put our hope in the Lord and His promises, we have an expectation that He's going to fulfill those, and we look forward to the day. To build spiritual endurance as taught by the Scriptures, we have to actively nurture a relationship with God. Whoa. Alan, I'm a guy. You use that word, nurture. We have to actively nurture it. Okay, so let's put it in certain terms. If I have a car and it calls for 87 octane gas and I put diesel into it, what's going to happen? Bad things. I'm going to have to take it out to Tom's house and pull an engine. We've crawled under an engine before, haven't we? Bad things happen if you put the wrong fuel in. Bad things happen if you don't get the oil changed. Bad things happen if you don't replace the filters. Bad things happen if you don't rotate the tires. You get where I'm coming from? We know what nurturing is. It's taking care of something. Right? So we need to be able to nurture a relationship with God. Well, how do we take care of a relationship with God? It's not rocket science. It's as easy as putting the right gas in the car. Through daily practices of faith, through daily practices of discipline, and a heart that is open to growth, we can nurture that relationship with God. And I need to emphasize that heart that is open. You know, we talked about the Olympian. That Olympic guy didn't want to go through all those trials all the time, but something continued to drive them forward. Something continued to be in front of them that they wanted to participate in. Do we look at a relationship with God as something to be valued so much that we'll keep going? Do we have a heart that wants to be open to Him? Urban Meyer, a couple of years ago, the season that they couldn't go to the... No, the season that they won the national championship, he said, my team opened up their hearts to me. I mean, and he physically, you could see him, they opened up my heart, their hearts to me. Right? He was explaining how that team wanted to win. That team wanted to do what was necessary to win. That team wanted to do what was necessary to support one another. Are we willing to do what's necessary? Do we want it that bad? Some of the things that we do to nurture that relationship is prayer. Archie's done a great job in teaching us about that. When do we pray? Both in moments of gratitude and in times of need. It creates a channel for us to have honest communication with God, allowing believers to find strength beyond their own abilities. How many people do you look at in scriptures that had honest communication with God? They expressed their frustrations. They expressed their fears. They expressed their concerns. If you go through Psalms and read what David put out there, I mean, David felt like he was going to die sometimes. But he continued to openly keep communication with God at the forefront of his mind. That open, honest communication, that prayer, allows believers to find strength beyond their own abilities. Immersing ourselves in scriptures, meditating on passages such as Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or Hebrews 12:1 and 2, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. These are passages that tell us how to run the race, how to get to heaven, how to stay with God. It offers guidance, reassurance, and inspiration to persist even when circumstances seem overwhelming. We also know that we need to obey God's teachings. That obedience embodies the choices and actions that we take every day. You know, there's a guy that I know who was never satisfied with an achievement. He always wanted something big. And he'd have 99 failures before he got something big, right? If he would have just worked on those 99 failures, the little things, and gotten those done, he would have been far ahead of the big thing. We need to obey God every day in every way. We're not looking for mountaintop experiences, and there's nothing wrong with those. But the mountaintop experience is not going to carry you through the valley. You need something that will carry you through the valley. And that's obedience to Christ and His words. Meditation on the things that He taught us. Those things will bring you through and keep you strong. We know that perseverance ultimately leads to that hope and that fulfillment. To build spiritual endurance as taught by the Bible, we have to continue that nourishing, that nurtured relationship. We need to trust in God's wisdom and His timing, as seen in the story of Abraham. Wow, you know, Abraham was promised a great nation. And what happened? It was when he was 100 when he finally had his child. That required a lot of trust and faith. He didn't laugh when he was told he was going to have a child. His wife did. She was, 99, I believe. We need to trust in His wisdom and in His timing. The Bible also emphasizes the importance, again, of community. Gathering with others, sharing burdens, and encouraging one another. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let's consider how to encourage one another in love and in good deeds. Hebrews 10:25, not abandoning our own meeting together, as is the habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, those who say, well, you're just beating me up with that passage about not forsaking the assembly. No, I'm trying to get you to understand this is a time for you to be encouraged, and it's time for you to encourage others. Have you seen somebody who really doesn't want to come back on Sunday night You know, they go home, they rest. It was a long week. They got to go to work tomorrow, and they don't want to be there on Sunday night. Well, I got what I needed this morning. Have you considered that when you come on Sunday night, you're there to encourage others, that you have work to do? Just a thought. All right. So being together fosters resilience and reminds individuals that they are not alone in their struggles. Learning from the steadfastness again of biblical figures like Job, whose unwavering faith saw him through an imaginable loss. You know, Job lost his livelihood, his family, his health. The only thing that was held back was his life. But Job remained faithful. Can you imagine God telling Satan, "Have you considered my servant? Put your name in there." Would you be faithful in that trial? Paul endured persecution, yet continued his mission. How many times was Paul shipwrecked? How many times was he stoned? How many times was he beaten? How many times was he in prison? Yet he continued to keep on his mission. And it provides an example to us and a motivation. So ultimately, spiritual endurance is forged in everyday moments of challenge and triumph. It's strengthened by relying upon God's promises. We reflect on our past victories and embrace support from others. And we continually seek to grow in faith, hope, and love. In this way, endurance becomes not just a response to hardship, but a lifelong pursuit that leads to deeper trust, joy, and fulfillment. Would we expect a new baby to be able to lift that 50-pound weight? Would we expect that a new baby could go out and down here to Texas Roadhouse and have a 24-ounce prime rib? I don't think so, even if you pureed it. Ew. Anyway, it takes time to grow. So when you walk out of here today and you say, "Well, Alan told us we need to be stronger and endurance, and I need to..." It takes time to build up. Make the time to build up. How do we compare the journey of a new Christian? You know, Patrick Hughes is a new Christian. I'm almost 63, so I'm going to say Anthony's still a new Christian. How would we compare their journey to someone like Terry McGiffin? You know, I think Terry carried a lot. And he was faithful to the end, even with his health issues. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in context, starting in verse 5. "But as for you, use self-restraint in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Are we getting stronger? Are we building endurance? Can we be Olympic Christians? Are we ready to compete in life to obtain the crown? Again, James 1:12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Revelations 2:10, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." I want to receive that crown of life. That's more important than any gold medal. It's more important than any award that we can get on earth. It's essential that we strive if we want eternal life. Do you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Are you needing to get back in the race? Have you kind of like fallen by the wayside? Are you demonstrating your faith in trial? Are you demonstrating your faith in everyday life? Do you need your community to pray with you and get you back in the race? We're here for that. We're here to help you and encourage you and strengthen you. By obeying the gospel and being washed of my sin through baptism, I began my race. If you haven't started your race, if you need to be saved by the blood of Christ, washing away your sins in baptism this morning, we would love to help you. Get in the game. Let's go to our invitation song, please.